This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Klingberg for Draisaitl. Lost the handle. It might be a breakaway. Tyler Seguin in alone. He scores!
Sean McDonough with the call. Game two tonight. Bobby and I will be there. So will the Tolos that have come out to see us in Mansfield. Shoot us a DM or a message on where you're going to be so we can drink it up to hopefully take the 2-0 series lead. This is DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. No better way to preview game two than with the great Craig Ludwig joining us on 105.3 The Fan. Good morning, Craig. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How are we doing?
We're doing well. What did you think after the second period? Did you really think anything like that was possible the other night, or you were rethinking what you thought the series was going to be with the way that Edmonton had dominated?
Well, normally I would say that not thinking good things, but we've seen with this Dallas team this year in the playoffs, they have the ability to come up with some big moments, some big periods, big stretches of maybe even 3, 4, 5 minutes in a hockey game. So the one thing for sure, if you're an opponent or a fan, regardless of what the score is with this Dallas team, especially if they're down a couple goals, they seem to be never out of it.
Craig, you know, when you win a game like that, you know, where you say first two periods we really got handled, and then you come back and you're able to win with a flurry in the third period, how do you guys discuss that as a team in between, or how do you look at that? Do you look at it as, okay, it's nice we got the victory, but man, we really got to clean this up, or is it just more the focus of, hey, we rallied, you never apologize for victories, our focus is the fact that we finished this game?
No, I think in the playoffs especially where they're at right now, in that, you know, that's around before you get to what you've been trying to accomplish all year long, and you have to be realistic about it and say we weren't the team that we needed to be in the first two periods, especially in your building. You know, they've been good all year in this building. The fans have been incredible, and I think a lot of the success that happens with this group is due to the fans. I mean, they're never, I don't know if anybody got a chance to watch some of the other series that are going on, especially in Canada and mainly in Toronto. You know, it's tough for me to watch when fans like that turn on teams and early in series and games and things like that. So the fans here in Dallas have been incredible since we got here, in all honesty. But you have to sit down and you talk about where you were. You're very fortunate that you won that game when you really look back at it. And when you can, you know, their power play has been on fire. And I think everybody in the league knows that if you're going to put the Dallas Stars in the last 2-3 years on the power play, it's not a good recipe to close out a game. And they scored, I think it's 3 goals in, what, the last 5-6 minutes, or I should say the first 5 or 6 minutes of the third period. Oddly enough, their coaching staff decided not to call a timeout and kind of temper it. But you look at it and say, we have to be a lot better. And a couple reasons, because that doesn't always happen, and mainly because of your opponent. You know, there's a few guys over there, two in particular, that can take a game over. And if it wasn't for some poor penalties, frustration on their side for whatever reason, that game probably wouldn't have turned out that way. But it did, and so you take the win, and you make sure that you put everything into your next game. Because, you know, again, the old saying is, you know, visiting teams are really, they come on the road to win one game and steal that home ice away from you, which isn't, it's never true. You actually come here to win two games if you're a road team. But when you don't win one of them, you kind of use that line. We only came here for one game. So, and that just gives them home ice, and they're going to be a good team in their building. And they've got fans that are very similar that have been behind them. So, again, you take the positive out of it. We found another way to come back, but let's not rest on that, and let's be better next game.
Craig Ludwig joining us here on the D&M Leasing Hotline. So you would have called a timeout after that second goal, you think?
Yeah, it just, you know what, especially on the road. I mean, you feel as a player, as a visiting player, you're sitting on the bench and you feel like everything's just falling down on you. And you're going, man, you know, a couple quick goals and the roof is caving in. I don't know. And again, maybe they had a reason for why they didn't at that particular time, you know, in the game. And maybe it's about some rest for his couple, you know, his superstars and Draisaitl and McDavid, and maybe we're looking ahead and saying, listen, we're gonna save this timeout for a little bit later, and if it's gonna be a one goal game and there's a couple minutes to go in the game, we're gonna have to pull the goalie, and I need my two or three best players being rested. I want to save it to them. So you really don't know what goes into that stuff, but in my opinion, I especially on the road, and I think that you have to. You sometimes logic has to fly out the window, and you go, my players are tired, and this is just a mental crushing right now. And sometimes you can call it and don't even say anything, and just let the players talk for a minute, and let them, if you've got that kind of a leadership group, let them talk about, hey guys, we're okay, just hang in there, we're gonna get our game back on track. But they didn't do that. And, you know, again, it's I can't say that that's the reason that it collapsed on them, but that would have been my opinion.
Lud, the Skinner was, I mean, not good in that third period, obviously. And this may be an impossible question for you because you played with, like, elite goaltenders on your team. But what is it like when you have a goalie that you just don't really trust?
Simply put, you start to try to do too much. And I'm speaking as a defenseman. Now, all of a sudden, you're trying, you feel like your goaltender's having a rough night. And now you're trying to block shots. You're trying to get and do everything you can to not let it get to him and let him get back on track. And by doing that, you actually make it more difficult for him. Now you're sitting in his lap. You're laying down in front of him. You're standing up in front of him. I mean, you just go back and you look at a couple of those goals that were scored. And really, and on Miro's goal, it was there was two of the Edmonton Oilers that were screening, you know, the goaltender more than the Dallas Stars player was. But that's what you're supposed to do. You know, you're supposed to get in shot lanes and things like that. But I think that's what ultimately happened. And specifically it happened to me. And I've had, you know, like you said, I had the luxury of winning a couple championships because of an Ed Belfour and a Patrick Roy. And there were times, especially Eddie, and a couple goaltenders even prior to that, there were ones like, Lud, we got this, you know, relax, you don't have to do that much. And so you have those conversations, and I'm sure they did. You know, I think there was a lot of traffic in front of that goaltender, and there were more Oiler jerseys that were probably in front of their goaltender than there were Dallas Stars jerseys at times. And I think that's probably something they go back and look at. And you have a conversation with a goaltender. And I think right now, especially, they don't have another goalie here, to be honest with you. The other guy that they have, Rodriguez, he's only played in a couple games. And the guy that kind of spelled Skinner when he went through some rough patches in the first couple rounds didn't even make the trip. So they're kind of stuck with Skinner. I wouldn't say that they're stuck with him, but, I mean, they're really leaning. That's the guy that's got to get him a win tonight. And so I think as much positive information as you can share with your goaltender and say, listen, yeah, we got to do a better job. We're going to try to seal these guys out before they even get in front of you and kind of start there.
Stars Oilers play game two this evening. We're talking about it with Craig Ludwig here on 105 Through the Fan. Okay, Craig, so one of the common things or themes that came out of the game the other night was there was just a lot of discussion about, boy, that looked like old Tyler Seguin. Like that looked like he found the fountain of youth and was just really locked in this game. How cool is it just to see, I guess, the kind of throwback performance there from Seguin and just how impressive he was in that game?
You know, it brings a smile to your face. And mainly for me personally, thinking and knowing all the things that Tyler has had to go through as far as his rehab with his, you know, his surgeries and his hip injuries, and it's well documented, and what the process was that he had to go through and how hard he had to work to get back. And I think, for me, the first thing that seems to come to mind when Tyler came back and he's working through it, yeah, the step isn't there like it used to be. And again, it even without the hip things, it's not going to be there like it used to be. I mean, you've been in the league for 17 years. That kind of stuff happens. But I started thinking about, unfortunately, Joe Pavelski from a year or so ago. You know, he kind of lost that step. Had nothing to do with the injuries and things like that. But it was just, Father Time is undefeated, right? And so you just look at that. And one of the things coming into this is we got between rounds 2 and 3 that I kept talking about with our guys is like, this team has to find a way to start scoring 5-on-5. And you know, Dallas, again, luckily they got their power play goals, but they haven't been a good team 5-on-5. Special teams and goaltending, that has a big part to do with playoffs. But, and then when you looked at the 5-on-5 things, it needed to be some of those guys, and it's Tyler, and it's Robo, and you know, it's Matt Duchene, and two of those three guys scored. So I think that gives these guys that little bit of boost, and like, we're back, I'm back. Even the Duchene goal, you know, his shot ends up hitting Hintz in the backside, and somehow he gets it back and he scores that goal. And you can just tell the relief on Tyler and Duchene's face, because they've been such key parts of this group in the last 2-3 years of scoring goals and putting points up. It's frustrating for them. And this is the time of the year that they want to be at their best. And hopefully now you get that little bit of bump back in your game and your confidence is coming back that you can score. But you have to look at where they're being scored. I always have this thing with players, and they sometimes drift further away from the net when they're not scoring goals, and it has to be just the opposite. You have to go get some ugly goals. And one of them, Tyler got, you know, it's a rebound from Steele. That shot was going in, you know, and Tyler did look like he had a ton of speed on that breakaway. And the funny thing is the guy that he outraced immediately was John Klingberg. And I said in our postgame show, when I was describing the goal, I said, well, you know, my hip doctor is better than your hip doctor. And you know, because he did it. You know, John Klingberg had both of his hips done, and he went through a process himself. But Tyler did look like he was shot out of a cannon on that one, and that's all great news.
Lud, we're amateurs. We follow the puck. You know, when you're seeing the Stars defense, how different have they been since Miro's returned? Can you notice a noticeable difference in how the defense is played?
Yeah, well, I think you notice a difference from game one to the last game for Miro. Game one wasn't pretty for Miro, and you didn't expect it to be pretty. I mean, he just came off of, you know, an injury and rehab and all that other kind of stuff. And Miro's biggest strength, obviously, is his skating ability. And I thought in game one, his skating ability forward was there. It was when he was pivoting to kind of get to somebody one-on-one, and somebody was trying to go around him, and it's in your transition and the stops and starts and things like that. And you know what? Sometimes a lot of that can be in your head more than anything, because you're not sure until you get into a real game how you can push it and what it's going to feel like when you're actually getting hit and people know that you've coming back from an injury. And of course they're going to be hard on you. You're one of the best defensemen in the league. But as he's gone from game to game, he just looks more like Miro. The difference in Miro for me, what he brings to this team, and if you're going to try to play against him and the way you set up to defend and things like that when teams are breaking out of their own zone, Miro does it differently for me. Miro does it more with his legs. And with the skating abilities that he has, he can skate by their first forechecker or their first, well, however they want to set up. He can skate by him. And as he starts to get closer to the neutral zone, now the other two forwards have to make some kind of a decision. Do they move to him? Do they shift a little bit? But when that happens, now their coverage starts to break down. So you've kind of broken what they try to do to defend and, you know, turn the puck over. Well, he kind of throws a wrench into that thing. And then what Miro is so good at, once he does that with his legs, now he makes that first pass to somebody that's opened up, because now he's almost brought a player and a half to him. So there's a breakdown somewhere. And then what it really does is that it allows that your forwards, when you get the puck to move, you're almost coming in 3-on-2 at times into the offensive zone, because you've broken down one and a half of their forwards, you know, from your end to possibly to the offensive blue line. So it creates more offense from him, just his skating ability and having people get pulled out of position.
What was your original pick for the series?
I had taken Dallas in six, and I wasn't even comfortable doing that. It was more of a homer pick, to be totally honest with you. I got to be honest, because I suck at it. I really do. I suck at picking who's going to win series and stuff like that. But I just, I mean, Edmonton was rolling coming into, and I think they're going to get their game back. And you know, and they again, it was more about the way that they went about it and frustration in their game and taking the penalties and things like that. I just and a lot of that for me is because two of the arguably, I don't know, three, four best players on the planet are on that team, and they look motivated through their first two rounds. And I think they're being driven by Connor McDavid, and he just has this look that, you know, we're going back to the finals, and this year we're not going to let that team, whoever it may be, it looks like it's going to be Florida, obviously, we're not going to let that happen again. So I think when you have a couple of the best players on the planet that are driven, you know, a lot of times that's how it ends up. But unfortunately for them, you know, one of the top two or three players on their team isn't their goaltender this year in the playoffs. It's been kind of hit and miss with them. So, but anyway, yeah, I just, it's, as it moves along, though, this team just keeps on finding ways. And you just look at the addition of Rantanen, and obviously we all know about that. But with Miro being healthy, and now I think next is if Robo can get a goal or two. And now all of a sudden, you got your guys that can put the puck in the net. You got your new addition that you know what it is. And from another team that's playing against you, who do you know, like? Pick your poison. Like, who are we going to? Are we going to try to shut Rantanen down? And now all of a sudden there's Sagan, and you want to shut him down? There, you know, you got, if you get Duchesne going, if you get Marchment going, you get Robo going. You know, and again, my opinion is you get through this round. I think you already scratched the name of Jake Oettinger on the Conn Smythe Trophy. I just think he's been that good. I think Jake Oettinger, if it wasn't for him, I don't know if they'd be here, because he has made some incredible saves and gave his team an opportunity to get to the point where they are right now. And I don't see anything changing with Jake.
How are you covering the game tonight?
What I do is I sit in our studio over at DLLS, and I do not go to the game. And if I do, I end up going to the game, and I sit there, and I yap, and I talk. And the next thing you know, when we get ready to do the post-game show, I don't know what the hell happened. So and I may have had a beer or two. So I prefer to sit in the studio with our producer, and we kind of go over all the things that we're going to try to show and talk about. And I trust myself better doing it that way.
Craig, yeah. Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to have you on, man. Enjoy tonight and the rest of the series. Thank you.
All right, guys. Thanks. Anytime.
The great Craig Ludwig on the D&M Leasing Hotline with Game 2 this evening at the AAC. Choppy has drawn a Texas Rangers line in the sand. We got baseball Cavs on the home of the Rangers after another frustrating.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
One next.
The wet stuff staying away. 1-2 breaking pitch, swing and a miss. Struck him out with a curveball. What a beauty of a pitch from Eovaldi. I don't know if that's exactly where he wanted to locate it, but the movement on that pitch, good enough to get the strikeout. And for Eovaldi, that's his sixth strikeout on the afternoon.
You're an idiot and you don't know baseball.
Ranger fans, you're not dreaming.
How can you not be romantic about baseball?
I am drawing a line in the sand.
You wrote canon event. I did not know what that was. I was going to research it.
So
I can help you with that.
Okay. Of course, canon, a war reference back in the day from Ross.
Ross. That's a Spider-Man reference.
Well, no, canon is just canon to, like, it's basically like core to the origins or whatever. Like canon is very big in churches too. So like the canon being like the established like rules and order and things like that.
So it's a moment. It's a moment where things change, kind of.
Is that where you, Ross, let's hear your explanation.
Well, I thought you were talking about like a canon event, like a formative event. That's what I thought you were talking about.
Right. Yes. Formative. Yeah, it molds you, helps mold you, right? And that's what this is. I feel a line drawn in the sand here. It is evident that something must change with the offense of this baseball team. We are now, if you were to go back to the start of 2023, even though they won the World Series that year, the offense was great for 60 games, mid for the last 100, and then it picked up again in the postseason. And then last year and this year, so we have like 300 out of 360 games of knowledge and understanding that this offense just isn't cutting it. So something's got to change. And this, I think, was the most – and I know it's weird. Like, you got swept by a team that's in first place. They're a good team. They won the World Series last year. This just felt like a demoralizing three games in New York.
Yes.
You missed Max Fried. You missed – I mean, Gerrit Cole's not pitching this year. Luis Gil isn't pitching this year. You got Rodon, but, you know, he's hit or miss.
Mm-hmm.
He gets booed off the mound half the time. So, and you still got swept. And you got swept, and you only allowed 10 runs in the entire series. You couldn't hit your way out of a paper bag.
The numbers are maddening. Rangers starters allowed 6 runs in the series. The offense scored 5. They were shut out for the 6th time yesterday. They were shut out 5 times all of last year. And then Bassick, who At first, I thought they just took him off the post yesterday because they had Nadell on and then Raymond, and then Bassick had to do the second segment. Mike Bassick said that in 11 Eovaldi starts with a 1.6 ERA, they're 5-6. They're 5-6. He's got a 1.6 ERA. You're wasting an all-time unit, a collection on a sports team that should have you as a World Series contender. Wasted.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is the defense in the NFL that allows 13, and the offense is horrific, and they start turning on each other in the locker room.
Yep. I mean, you know what you are right now. You're Seattle for the last couple of years.
Ew.
Right? Yeah, really good pitching staff, can't score.
I don't like hearing that. Yeah, when we talk about over the last 3 years, I was just trying to sit here and think of, like, what's the analogy for who you're describing? When you're talking about, like, oh, they were great for this stretch in offense, and then they couldn't, you know, hit water if they fell out of a boat, and then it's like, oh, they caught fire again, and you still see glimpses of it. They are like an entire team of like Tim Hardaway Jr. Like, where it's like they're gonna go on their runs where it's like, oh, they're great right now. They're putting up 40, and then it's like they can't do anything. This is
the only teams that have scored less than them are the White Sox, the Rockies, and the Pirates. That's it. The Rangers are actually lucky. They're lucky that they're one game under 500, that they have 25 wins. Because those other teams have 15 wins, 8 wins, and 17 wins, and they're all in last place. Those are the offenses who have scored less.
They have struck out 14, 11, and 13 times in each of the last three games. That's like, I don't know, 37 strikeouts in the last three games.
Yeah, it's not good. I mean, they are. I was looking at it yesterday. I was like, they don't, because I mentioned it earlier, Nadell had the note that they didn't score a single run in this series against New York that wasn't off a home run. So they're not getting any situational hitting. Five for their last 35 with runners in scoring position.
Give me the top three you're angriest with. Let's put names on it. You know, enough Chris Young, make a move, Boach, Brett Boone. Let's start calling out these hitters.
Well, I mean, look,
Semien.
Semien is the easy one.
180. But I mean, his WAR is a -0.3.
Is this also like kind of just the Marcus Semien experience we expected at some? Because I mean, when he first signed the deal, there was a thought that like, hey, you probably overpaid, and how much is he going to? How much is this going to potentially turn into Shin Soo Choo by the end of the contract? Where it's like he's good for you early on, but like this,
but he could beat. He's 34. You could beat 240. You know what I mean? Like
it could be better.
He's 180.
Adolis. You know, defensively, he's been really, really good defensively, but, I mean, he's slugging under. He's got an OPS under 600.
He's hitting the ball hard. His chase rate's just awful.
I'm sorry, under 700. Yeah. Yeah, his chase rate is awful.
And who's three? Those two are easy. Who's the third?
I'm going to be.
Jock or someone higher up?
I'm gonna pick on, and I probably shouldn't because he was so great early on. I'm going to pick on Wyatt Langford. Like I want Wyatt, I need Wyatt Langford to be more consistent. Like when we got into the end of last year, we're like, all right, he's kind of putting it together. That's good. Then we started this year, and he was the only consistent thing they had on offense. And it's like, I understand there's a lot of pressure here for you, but like, I also need you to have like more consistency at the plate than going through the stretch. There was a time he was hitting 315, 320.
He's been in a slump
3-4 weeks ago. He's been in a slump,
but he's also routine. You know, pretty regularly the only one that will ever hit the ball hard.
Adolis is hitting the ball hard. The catchers for most of this, like guys.
The problem
hitting,
with Adolis
Jock
is that
the
problem with Adolis is that it's obvious that pitchers are pitching him, and he can't. He's almost turning into Javi Baez, not being able to hit the curveball.
Wyatt was at 310 after April.
Yeah, and he's
dropped 60 points.
60 points in 20 days.
189 in the month of May. He's hitting 180. That like he's got to be better.
Yeah, and look, and I'm not going to get on him because he is such a great player.
And he's
No, I'm not talking about it. But another guy, he's got to stay healthy. Seager's got to stay healthy. Like, how different is this lineup if he's healthy every day? I mean, I'm not getting on him.
I don't know how much.
Right.
I don't know how much different.
But I mean, we're talking about a guy who has had, I would say a Hall of Fame start to his career. He may not make. He's not going to make it, I don't think. But he's had a Hall of Fame start to his career. Seager, most part. I mean, you win two World Series MVPs, you're in rarefied air.
No, I mean he's been great when he's available.
When he's available, that's his problem, right? And that was his problem with LA. You know, but you still sign him. You got to. But the problem is another problem this team has is they're in a tricky spot because they're so close to the World Series team. The sentiment I got on Twitter was we know we need to change things, but we're too close to the World Series to blow it up.
Man, that's not a good enough reason.
I agree.
I'm not trying to blow it up. I mean, you got to sell out to add.
You got to sell out to add.
So, this is a sell out add situation.
And here's
because of the pitching.
Yes.
Yes. This team's got to make the playoffs.
You have a world class staff.
If this team makes the playoffs, there's not a team in the league that wants to face the Rangers pitching staff in the postseason.
Like, how are there even other staffs better than them? I think yesterday they were saying third best, and I was like, what? There's two better? Are you kidding me? With the starting rotation?
I mean, they've been.
Is the bullpen included with that, too?
I'm not sure.
It may be bullpen. If the bullpen's included, I understand that. Starting staff, I'd be hard pressed to find two starting staffs that have been better than this one so far.
So for team, is someone making French fries or barbecue?
Smells great.
What does that smell? Yeah. That's incredible. Mets have a team 282 ERA, and then Kansas City, and then us. That probably factors in everything.
It probably factors in everything. You know, but like, I just think that the idea that it's too close to the World Series to really do anything, and again, not saying blow it up, that's a small market mentality. We're a big market.
No.
This is a World Series team. You know, like, I'm not saying blow it up, but if you were to make a trade and try to, like, do what Tampa did last year, recognize there's no market, we got some guys, let's move on from them.
No. This is an all-in buy situation, in my opinion.
Right, but what I'm saying is you can move out. You could just take Adolis for a second. You can move on. You could trade him for somebody else.
Because you're saying Tampa bought and sold, right?
They bought it. You could buy and sell. Teams have bought. Detroit did that. You could buy and sell. Tampa routinely will buy and sell. When they buy, they also sell something.
The problem is, and we talked about this, a lot of the chatter you're hearing from Buster Olney and Jeff Passan and people like that is like, it's going to be such a seller's market, and you're going to pay such a premium, and it's for guys that are not even like the type of prized possessions that you would normally get. It's you're going to pay really over the top for something that you're not necessarily going to be thrilled with.
And that's, so that's why you that's can why make.
I think Texas has to be realistic about like how much better can their offense get. And how much in terms of by adding somebody, and then how much better can this current group be? Because if you look at that and go, this offense just isn't going to be good enough consistently, well, then you need to have, I think, the courage to say, we're going to move some pieces in what is a seller's market right now, and we're going to take advantage of some of this desperation and kind of reset. Do what you should have done last year with some of the expiring deals that you had.
And how far away are they? Are they one hitter away?
No.
Like, if this team got
They're
one
hitters.
Hitter away if like Wyatt, Seager, and Young can like all sync up and like hit consistently.
And be healthy.
That's the problem. That's so frustrating.
All right, some Tolo shout outs as we continue here from the Mansfield Firehouse, number 3, 3100 East Broad on DFW Sports Station. Apparently Mansfield ISD across the way has the whole show on. So we have to give a shout out to them.
We'll say hey to them.
Oh, that's I thought you were like, hey, I got a problem.
Alma mater right across the street from us.
Well, Nate Dogg, the great Nate Wood, came out with Ryan Toomey. Ryan Toomey said he taught Peyton and Alec Medford sitting there in the school system. So how about that? Corey, Ellison, Jason, and Dylan.
Yeah,
so,
and Dylan, this is his first day off of school. It's his first day to sleep in. They're in Mansfield. His first day to sleep in, he said, nope, Dad, I want to go out there. I want to check out the show. So he passed on sleep to come out here this morning.
And shout out to Tom Cruise, who's probably listening. Tom Cruise is in town. He was in Deep Ellum yesterday.
Oh,
really?
Doing the movie theater tour. Yeah,
he was at a
barbecue spot, and then I think he went to the movies.
Man, I still have one of my biggest regrets. I don't think I've gone past Mission Impossible 2.
I mean,
they keep churning them out, and they still look like they're good movies. He does all of his own stunts. That's awesome.
Do you feel like have you felt like Mission Impossible's like can't miss movie? Like I feel like I've missed out when I don't watch Avengers or something. But.
Why is Caleb Williams hiding from the Chicago media? That's next on the Home of the Cowboys in B-Low.
The Belt.
Right here on 105.3.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MINCE-T today or visit MinceTClinic.com. That's MinceTClinic.com.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews. All on the app. Download today. Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Be the fan. The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
Get ready
for the Caleb Williams apology tour that, Sean, you didn't think he should have to go on. You thought that it was overall that there wasn't anything wrong with just saying
for trying to Chicago, get to Minnesota,
yeah, or just that Chicago, like some of the stuff that he had apparently said about Chicago in the lead up, that you're like, that's the thought about Chicago. That's not anything new. He doesn't have anything to apologize for, and you would think that would be the case. Typically, it's just like, all right, as long as you're speaking the truth, there shouldn't be any problem with that. Well, Caleb Williams, who has never been one to shy away from a camera or flashing lights. He's hiding from it a little bit now. We're going to talk about it here in a second in Below the Belt, which is sponsored by D&M Leasing. You can check him out at dmautoleasing.com. And we also got a couple quick shout-outs to go through. Who did you get a chance to talk to at the break here, Sean?
Darius. Brandon's got a radio voice. He had the Ranger hat. I thought it was Gerald McCoy coming up here. Big Dog.
Yeah.
Brandon. The Efrons, Andre, and...
Efron Squared, yeah.
Yeah, they're working together.
Big Don's looking for his name.
Oh, Big Don. I love Big Don. And then Jason. I don't even recognize Jason anymore. He's got cupcakes for everyone here at the firehouse. He got the baked goods. He's showing off the skills. So.
Yes, sir.
Listen to that applause he got. We didn't even get one damn applause
no,
today.
No, we haven't got any applause.
And you got some damn frosting, and you get a standing O.
Yeah, it's cupcakes will make everybody happy.
Heck yeah.
I also got a chance to talk during the break with Ryan from Arlington. Steven in Mansfield said he's class of 86, has been in Mansfield basically this whole time. I told him 86, okay, so that must have been when they still had standards before they let people like Peyton Russell graduate over there. And then we just got a chance to talk to Andre and his 5-year-old daughter, Emery. So Emery's out here looking cool in those little pink sunglasses. Oh, and she just dropped them so that she could make sure to be seen here.
Oh.
As she's now famous out here.
It's always good to get the father-son or daughter stories where they're like, yeah, like they're listening to their YouTube every day, and then eventually they broke, and then they're listening to what I'm listening to in the car.
Now, obviously we're getting to last day of school. Most people are out or whatever, but, like, we typically will do these over the summer. I feel like this is the most kids we've had show up to one. So, like,
because they heard Peyton's out of town.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. It feels like whatever, like, and everybody I've talked to,
there's no yellow tape out here.
They're listeners. Like these kids, like they know the show. Like, like they're referencing stuff, and so it's been a great turnout. And then of course, I just saw the supplier of your wardrobe, one Sean Welch, is out here.
Yeah,
from Bogey Bros.
He's so remember we've had this conversation. Do you talk to guys in a babe hun?
Yeah,
he's my hun
from the Tom Brady story.
He's my sweetie.
The one with the hat.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's right, baby.
Whenever Choppy has the whale tail shirt on, the little booty shirt that he has, that came from Bogey Bro. So he's always outfitted in some Bogey Bro stuff. All right, Caleb Williams, Bears OTAs is underway. Again, a guy very aware of his brand, very aware of the spotlight and the camera. It's something that he's embraced and something that he's really tried to emphasize and different things like that. So the story came out last week. There's a Seth Wickersham book coming out in the near future where it's not going to look totally flattering if you're somebody in Chicago, if you're a Bears fan probably, because you don't like mess being talked about your city. But he was not a fan of ending up with Chicago. It sounded like he was willing to even threaten to, I'll play in the UFL before I go to Chicago and land there. Ultimately decided against it, and what'll probably get lost there if you're a Bears fan and you're upset about it is the fact that he did decide to go there, and it was because, as he told Seth Wickersham, after going there, he felt like, I can't just nuke this city.
Yeah, this is very Jim Kelly-esque. My favorite quarterback growing up, he did not want to go to Buffalo. He played in Miami.
Yeah.
He wanted to play warm weather, and he's like, I'm going to the UFL, or I'm going to the CFL, one of these other leagues.
If he was playing in the NBA during David Stern's era, he would have made sure he got there. He would have made sure he could have gotten to Miami.
Shaq reference.
Weather. Yes.
Thanks for reliving my old trauma from the Super Bowl, where I asked him why he still lives in Buffalo.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, that's right. I was sitting there going, like, what was that? Yeah, I forgot that. I thought that was Eric. That was such a fumble.
No, I figured that
Eric was not around back then.
Yeah, definitely not.
The note coming out of Chicago is that Mr. Caleb Williams, who is all about seeing the media and has talked to them and been really available the entire time with Chicago media, he is ducking them as OTA starts. Now, here's the thing is that during OTAs, you are not required to speak. It doesn't fall into the – because it's voluntary, it doesn't fall into the NFL's regulation.
But you have to speak in minicamp.
I think you do have to be made available at minicamp. I'm not certain about that, but I'm pretty sure you do because it's mandatory attendance. So if somebody wants to talk to you, you need to be made available.
Just one day.
It's 3 days of minicamp typically, and you just have to make yourself available at least once. Yeah. So Caleb Williams, though, is passing on the media spotlight, deciding not to talk. And
Stupid decision.
You think so?
Dumb PR.
Yep.
Just go up there and say, yeah, this is how I felt. I was worried. My dad was factored in. The longer you dodge it, the more the Bears fans, I believe, are going to get ticked off.
Yep.
Like, you're going to make the Bears fans angrier. The city is the only one you have to placate right now. You don't have to apologize. Make the Bears fans feel good. No one will care about this, of course, if he balls out with Ben Johnson in year two. But don't run and hide from it. Just go up there and admit it and be like, ultimately, I wanted to be the one to be a quarterback who flourishes here. That's it.
People are dumb. We, the media, are so easy. We are so predictable, A. Now, there are some, and like your Phillies and Bostons and New York, they're just out to get you, and I get it, and they ruin it for everybody else. But seriously, just talk, say, be a little nice, and like you become somebody that becomes untouchable because now you have a relationship.
You think Shea wanted to go to OKC or like number one picks to the cities they go to? Of course not. Yeah,
imagine how many foul calls he'd get if he was in a real city.
If he was still with the Clippers, my goodness.
It'd never end.
It'd never stop. You just breathe on. Now, here's the thing. You mentioned what he should do is what you said, which is just like, they were concerned. Just basically own it. What is your prediction? He will eventually have to speak. When this eventually comes up, which let's say it's mini camp before he talks, so he's got a month to hopefully, maybe this will die down and people forget about it. But ultimately, somebody's probably going to ask him, do you think he goes with that, what you're talking about, which is just, I was concerned. He's trying to craft a perfect message. Does he ultimately go with, I was misquoted? I was taken out of context? That's not what happened?
No, because his dad is the quote.
Or I was going to say, does he shift it to his dad and say, look, my dad has his own opinions? Because we've seen that come up with CeeDee Lamb and his mom or other parents that have been, you know, involved in Cowboys players where their response is usually just a struggle, like, guys, I love my family, but they don't work here.
All right.
And
that could be a good one.
And like the only thing that I think is the pause is he's going to have to sell the influence of his dad because there's still some stuff in there where it's at least represented, even if it's not direct quotes. It's represented as Caleb felt this way and Caleb was concerned about this. Now, which do you think is more likely that he's hiding out from? The running away from Chicago or he doesn't want to answer questions about the stuff he said about the film study? I think it could be that he's concerned about having to answer questions about the coaching staff more than it is the Chicago.
I would be more concerned about Chicago. The staff is gone. Like, the coach isn't there anymore.
Right.
Who cares?
It doesn't matter.
Yeah. All this shouldn't be that big a deal. This is a small PR thing.
Yep.
Hire the Sharif and Choppy PR firm, we'll get you set.
And then you get
it. What firm would do better, the legacy-defining firm that we have or the PR firm?
The PR firm. Yeah. In my opinion, because I mean, you guys will split on legacy stuff. You know how you're going to react to a story on the air, so you can tell them, like, guys, if you do this, I'm going to react this way when we talk about it.
Yeah.
And so,
ask Mavs PR that question about me.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you can get unblocked by them. All right. So the Cowboys are in a precarious situation right now with their cornerback position. They are obviously without Trayvon Diggs at the moment, and I think there's an expectation or a feeling, I think, within the walls of the Star, of just like, I mean, we've got projections of when he could be back, but like, we don't know how he's going to handle the rehab. Like, we don't know how exactly he's going to, you know, because there were the criticisms. I think Todd Archer is the one who had the report last year that said there were some people who were frustrated with the way he went after his rehab coming back from the knee. So coming back from the rehab on this time, I think there's a question of just how much participation are we going to get? How much are we going to get Trayvon having his own ideas and wanting to take care of things on his own, which is not totally unique. A lot of players have done that before and just decided, I've got my own ideas or I've got my own health team that's going to look after this. But because of the loss of Diggs and because you've lost Jordan Lewis, which I think surprised the Cowboys how much money he got when he ended up in Jacksonville, you don't feel as great as you did a year ago about Kalen Carson.
Mm-hmm.
You're playing Israel Mukwamu in the slot some during these OTA practices. Wanya Thomas, two guys who have been safeties for you. As they look at this, the Cowboys, I think, are going to have to rotate out and say, we're going to need to address this potentially through free agency. This will need to be how we're signing Carl Lawson, or we're going after Linval Joseph, or those approaches that they did last year. So CBS Sports has the names that are out there to know at the different positions. The first name, and I just want to get a reaction from you guys, if that's somebody that, like, all right, I'd entertain it. Very first one, because there's been buzz about him, Stephon Gilmore.
I mean.
Tolo's out here saying yes.
And I'll just so we can just get through this baseline. Let's say I'm going to say it's $4 million. Each of these players that we're about to name, let's just say they get a 1-year deal for $4 million.
Let me hear the others.
Yeah.
Next on the list, James Bradberry, who was with Philadelphia last year. In 2023, Bradberry was one of the most sought-after players in free agency. This is from CBS. Before he signed a deal with the Eagles, he played well that season but missed the entire 2024 after he tore his Achilles and additional tendons during a preseason practice.
Don is yelling, no Eagles on the roster.
So
way to team build right there. What's Bradberry's age?
Bradberry, I believe he's into his 30s now.
Gilmore's PFF last year was a 64.
That's not awful. 31. So Bradberry's 31. He will turn 32 on August 4th.
Okay.
And then the last name here, and this is the one that, you know, you get Cowboys fans will fall in love with a name during free agency, whether the team's ever been attached to him or not. And this was one of the ones that we heard a lot. And it's Cincinnati corner Mike Hilton. And Mike Hilton, 5'9", veteran corner who plays the nickel primarily. Like, Gilmore and Bradberry complains, but that's not, like, a primary position for them. This would allow Hilton to play primarily nickel. It would keep Deron Bland outside, which is where he wants to be right now. The problem is the age that you're looking at with him and some of the injuries.
I have no idea who the hell he is. You answer it.
He's a good player. Basically, the question is, like, are you willing to take a gamble on trusting the nickel to somebody who's very injury-prone?
And who's your answer for the three?
I think right now, if I had to pick one, it'd be Hilton, but I might be willing to let things play out and see if McCormick can do something in the slot.
B-Low, B-Belt, every day at this time on the home of the Cowboys. We need the Tolos here to vote on Worst Take, our brand-new segment. And it's all local, filled with local losers.
Yeah,
all
right.
Jared Sandler, Mac Engel, and RJ Choppy.
What?
The Worst Take nominee is next.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's T Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.